you'll be able to probably hear some people that you know around the community that you know that can sing. And if you know of anyone, my email is dosay@yahoo.com. We are going to finish this quick 30 minutes with a friend of mine who I've worked with a little bit. You guys probably know him, Leonard Ladin. He had this single out that I loved a while back. It's entitled All I Need Is God. So keep the faith, and hopefully I'll be in tune with you next week.
Listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM.
Tune into KBOO every third Saturday at 10 p.m. for Query. Dive into the spectrum of queer music as we explore artists across time and genre.
She's on my mind every hour of every day.
That's Query every third Saturday at 10 p.m. on your community radio station, KBOO Portland. And I lose control, think I
follow home. Greetings, I'm Ansel Krigland.
And I'm Winston Watson.
And I'm Donald Clark.
And we are The Meditation.
We are listening to community radio.
KBOO
90.7 FM, Portland, Oregon.
Yeah. Dig it.
Hello and welcome to Pathways, where you are invited to join me for a visit with leaders in personal development and cultural evolution. This is your host, Paul O'Brien. Have you ever longed for alliances where you feel truly seen and supported? And what does it mean to form soulful bonds that go beyond surface level connection? In this show, we'll be looking at how to cultivate trust, depth, and the kind of presence that allows us to become genuine allies in one another's lives. Our guest today is David Rico, author of the book, By Your Side, How to Find Soulful Allies and Become One to Others. Dave is a psychotherapist, teacher, and writer who integrates Jungian, Buddhist, and mythic perspectives into practical guidance for everyday life. Through his books and workshops, he helps people cultivate mindfulness, compassion, and deeper human connection. Hello, Dave, and welcome back to the Pathways Show.
Hi, Paul. Thanks for inviting me.
It's been a while. We've had you on here a couple times before because you write so many books and they're all just worthy and they're right in alignment with our theme. So about this book, By Your Side, let's start with the heart of the matter. What does it mean to have a soulful ally, and why is that so critical in today's world?
A soulful ally is someone you can open your heart to without any fear that you'll be judged or shamed. And in a world like this one, where the usual reliable sources, such as the assurance of democracy and justice, are no longer quite reliable, the soulful ally is the one who's there for you as you face the fragmentation of your usual support system. And this would also apply personally. Let's say you went through a divorce and you were just kind of hanging out there in an isolated way. The soulful ally is the one who doesn't necessarily take your side. That's not the same as a soulful ally, but certainly does not judge you or make you feel bad. He or she or they are the kind of people who just want to be present in your life in the ways that work best for your feeling better about yourself and your situation. Mm-hmm. So that's what I mean by soulful ally.
Okay. And it seems like that's more critical these days since the pandemic and the rise of fascism and the polarization of people's opinions. It's more important than ever in the search for community or in the effort to avoid isolation. How big an impact do you think the pandemic had on this need that we have?
Well, I think it was quite major because we had to be isolated. And so, you know, our connection was limited to the phone or online meetings such as we're having right now. But there's no substitute for face-to-face connection. There's no substitute for the feeling of somebody's arm around your shoulder, somebody looking into your eyes and really understanding you. That can't happen as easily on Zoom or FaceTime.
Right. Now, in your book, you draw from mythology, psychology, and spirituality. What inspired you to bring all these perspectives together around the idea of allyship?
Just seems to go with the topic. Also, those are my own personal resources, mythology, psychology, the Jungian approach, Buddhism, the Christian view, all the areas that I've been introduced to in the course of life. I have found ways to find something good in each of them, and I try to put them together in whatever my topic is. My topic in this book, of course, is how to appreciate the alliances, the connections, the links in your life, and they are not just the people who are alive. I also have a chapter on how we stay in contact with people who have died who were also important to us. And they're not only physical beings, but they could also be spiritual beings, such as taking refuge in the three Buddha, taking refuge in the Buddha, the Dharma, and the community of practitioners. That would be an example of how Buddhism includes this idea of comradeship as a feature of human living, what makes it worthwhile. And in the Christian view, that same concept comes through in the teaching of the communion of saints, right, that we're being helped by the ones who have already passed, and they're caring about what happens to us. I know it sounds kind of out there, but when you have beliefs like that, you have a kind of a life that seems to have more meaning. So I'm not ever saying that any of what I believe is true, but if it gives me some sense of stability, comfort, and challenge, then I do want to hold on to it.
Right. Yeah, it's amazing how many different forms of allyship you cover in the book, these assisting forces, some visible, some invisible. Can you share a time in your own life when one of these forces showed up for you?
Yes. I think it's each and every friend that has been meaningful in some way, including yourself. Just the people who come along and seem to understand you and want to stay in touch with you and care about what happens to you. And I hope I do the same for others. It's almost it's kind of a calling, like we're called to be for others. I'm thinking of a phrase by Cicero, ancient Roman writer and orator, who said, "We are not born for ourselves alone. And we're born for others and to make a contribution to others and have a sense of service of humanity." When that happens, you feel like you yourself are an ally to your fellow humans.
Right.
And of course, we have the Buddhist practice of metta, in which I want to extend and beam loving kindness to myself, to those who are close to me, but also to the people I don't like or who don't like me, and finally to all beings. Just the fact that there's such a practice shows that in the tradition of spirituality, there's always been this sense of, I don't want to walk through that dark valley alone. I want to have a sense of connection.
And were you inspired to write this book because of your own experience? You know, perhaps the experience of isolation or the experience of being single, or just an awareness of your own need for connection?
Yes, it was my own need for connection and death of some close friends, and realizing how much they meant to me, which maybe I didn't express enough when they were alive. By the way, the phrase assisting force, I just want to mention what that refers to, because it's a common theme in stories. So we have the hero story, hero or heroine, and then there are the assisting forces who help the hero or heroine move along on their journey. Mm-hmm. And that's different from the afflicting forces, which try to get in the way of your reaching your goal. So very simple example.
Yeah.
In the film, The Wizard of Oz, the three friends that she meets are her assisting forces physically, and Glinda the Good Witch is her spiritual assisting force. And then on the other side, she has the afflicting forces, which would be the evil witch and her army. So in every story, you see those kinds of characters. And I said to myself, well, those are also the kinds of characters we meet up with in our individual lives. And of course, sometimes it's hard to tell the difference between whether they're really assisting or afflicting. But ultimately, even if they're afflicting, they at least help you be stronger. So in that sense, all are assisting forces.
Now you write, our biggest challenge is to believe that we are more than ever we thought. And your book encourages readers not to just find allies, but to become one. In practical terms, what does it look like to become a soulful ally to someone else?
First of all, don't be critical. Try to understand where the other person's coming from. Secondly, be compassionate when it comes to recognizing the pain that they might be experiencing. And third, it's a matter of caring, what I call a caring, committed connection. CCC, caring, committed connection. That's my working definition of love. How do you know you love someone? You care about what happens to them. You're committed to them. And third, you maintain the connection in life and beyond life. Now, obviously, the opposite would be not loving. I don't care. I'm not committed. And I've severed the connection, or there never was one.
Now, you include practices like meditation and journaling in the book. Is there a favorite one you'd recommend for listeners who want to open themselves to a soul level connection?
I think the best one is just mindful awareness of our calling. And, you know, when you read the 23rd Psalm, you hear, you come to the words, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." Our calling is to be that thou to all beings, and to trust that we're the one lost in the dark valley. So when you put those two together, I'm walking through a dark valley, especially these days, but I can trust that there's someone walking with me. When you walk through a storm, you'll never be alone, that idea. And at the same time, everybody else walking needs me as the thou in "for thou art with me."
Mm-hmm. Okay. You know,
the entire experience of spirituality is summed up in those four words, "for thou art with me." Oh, I'm sorry, five words.
Which five words?
For you are with me. That's the essence of what the book is about.
Okay, so in spite of the fact that we have a lot of existential despair happening these days because of seemingly insoluble problems like climate change, the fascist threat to democracy, the polarization of society, does this philosophy that you present in this book, does it help you personally feel optimistic about the future, or offer you a way?
I can honestly say I'm optimistic.
Uh-huh.
Well, let's put it this way. When I look at the news and the daily awful events, especially all forms of revenge, I'm not optimistic. But when I look at the people whom I honor and respect and admire, then I am optimistic. So it's kind of a combination.
Right. Okay.
Rather than one or the other.
Okay. So now in your book, you get into a lot of psychology, and particularly Jungian psychology. And one of the things that you bring up is archetypes as assisting forces, and also contacting the self with a capital S, which Jung called the God within. Can you speak to that?
It would be trusting that you're more than your ego. You're more than what's listed on your driver's license. You have a larger being that you share with all other beings. So the reason it's a capital S is because it's the same in everyone. The higher self might be one way of describing it.
Mm-hmm.
And by higher, I simply mean higher than your ego. What is ego? It's the part of us that thinks I'm it. I'm all that's important. Alliances don't matter. I can make it on my own. Rugged individualism. I need to be in control. I'm entitled to special treatment. That part, that mindset is not all there is to us.
Yeah.
So part of our work is to reduce that inflated ego and work on two things. One is having a healthy ego. That's the one that sets a reasonable goal and does all that it takes to fulfill the goal and establishes healthy relationships. So that's your psychological work. And then the spiritual work is to expand the circle of love so that it includes all beings.
Yeah. I want
to say you have a spirituality and you even hate one person is contradictory. There would be no more hate. What is hate? It's untethered rage, wishing ill will on the one you hate, and engaging in continuous retaliation. Those are the three elements of hate. If that's going on inside, And of course, it'll be fueled by the inflated ego. That would be what you want to work on before you could say, I have a healthy spiritual practice.
Right. Mm. You know, I used to think as one way of looking at the inflated ego versus the healthy ego is the inflated ego has the attitude, well, I may not actually be the center of the universe, but I might as well be as far as I'm concerned, and takes this attitude, this egocentric attitude that is so toxic. You know, and you point out, and I think it's very interesting, you point out how sometimes whatever we become addicted to can seem like an assisting force because it helps us escape from an unappealing reality. And you also mentioned that anxiety and depression are allies when they point us to what is stressing or limiting us. So in a way, it makes me think everything is an assisting force.
Yes, if you use it that way.
Right.
If you see everything that happens as an opportunity to find out about yourself and to expand your skill at loving others, then nothing can ever go wrong.
And what about lovers? You know, you do cover this in the book about lovers as allies. And I think that's, you know, such an attractive idea for people. Is that always the case? Can, you know, just being lovers doesn't necessarily guarantee that you're going to have a soulful ally.
You're referring to my chapter in the book on how this topic refers to our relationships, including marriage or friendships.
Yeah.
If it's real love, then it will mean that we are allies of one another, helpers of one another, comrades of one another, rather than that we're fighting each other to be sure our ego triumphs, or that we are competing with one another. It's okay to compete in sports. It's okay to compete at work so you can get an advance. But in a intimate relationship, there is no room for competition.
Right.
It's all alliance. So you would want to ask yourself, am I in the kind of relationship that is a true, reliable, trustworthy alliance, or am I continually trying to be one up?
Right. And you talk about the three stages of an intimate relationship, which is attraction, conflict, and commitment. And I think that's very sobering to realize there's always going to be some conflicts to resolve. And unless we can learn how to resolve them, we can't get to the commitment and a solid relationship as soulful allies. You know, you talk about in your last chapter, talking about how we could be allies for each other, you write about the wounded healer and being of service. And this brings up the idea to me of the fact that even though we may be very insecure, we can be an assisting force even when we're far less than as perfect as we'd like to be.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, that's more likely to be the kind of soulful alliance that happens rather than finding somebody perfect. Let's use one more example from the film The Wizard of Oz. Notice that the three friends who help her fulfill her purpose are all wounded themselves. One has a brain problem, the other one has a courage problem, and the other one has a heart problem. In other words, the three helpers are not three very healthy big football players. There are people who need her just as much as she needs them. That's soulful alliance, when you can appreciate the woundedness that we all carry and not feel as if you're better than others, because you don't have quite as many wounds as they have.
You know, and you also talk about the trickster archetype.
Yes.
And how people like Stephen Colbert and Bill Maher, and I suppose we could include Jimmy Kimmel.
Yeah.
These are, you say they are the helpful tricksters that are so necessary in society, and kind of like the jester in the kingdoms of old. But yet we have an administration now that is trying to squelch that energy. What do you have to say about that?
Yeah, that's so sad to see. And I'm glad you mentioned the trickster character. That's the person who comes along and shows you you're not all you're cracked up to be. And somehow fools you or betrays you in your personal life. And when it comes to the people in the world of entertainment, they're the ones who point and say the emperor has no clothes.
Right.
And we might be afraid to say that, or we certainly don't have the forum that they have, namely the TV screen. But they speak for us when they point out the holes, H-O-L-E-S, in our society.
Right. Now, if you could leave our listeners with one core insight or encouragement from by your side, well, what would that be?
I think it would be the words I have in the book. What have we ever but our life together? This is the main thing we have in life, our life together. And when it starts to get split up and alienated and ridiculed, denied, when it turns into competition or retaliation, we've lost everything. Anyway, this is my book. And as you see on the cover, it has all these, balloons, I guess, connected. Mm-hmm. It's meant to show that this is the picture of us, not one of these, but all of these.
Right. Yeah, it's beautiful. It's a beautiful book. I'm really glad I read it. And I want to thank you, Dave. There's so much more we could cover, but we've run out of time today. And I want to be sure to let our listeners know about your website, where they can learn more about you and your work, including the book By Your Side. It's www.daverico.com. That's DAVERICHO.com. And for those who may be listening to Pathways Live on a Sunday morning and have tuned in late, this is your host, Paul O'Brien, producer of the Visionary I Ching Oracle, an app that supports great decisions and perfect timing. So glad you are with us today and have the ability to review all of the hundreds of interviews in our online archive, including some previous ones with Dave Rico. Also, you can play and or share this program whenever you want, via the internet or as a free podcast, and I'll tell you how in a minute. Today, we've been visiting with Dave Rico, author of By Your Side, How to Find Soulful Allies and Become One to Others. And I highly recommend it. This is such a profound book, and it's got so many, it pulls from so many different areas of psychology and metaphysics and spirituality. It's just a beautiful compilation. And I want to say a heartfelt thank you to all of our listeners for tuning into Pathways, which is currently broadcast on KBOO-FM in Portland, Oregon. Or perhaps you have a free subscription to our podcast, which you can find at divination.com. That's DIVINATION.com, or by searching Pathways Radio on Paulo's YouTube channel, where you can also give us a thumbs up and subscribe. And do feel free to forward a link to your friends. So this is Paulo bidding you adieu and reminding you to tell your friends about Pathways Podcasts. And thanks again to Dave Rico and to all of you listeners for tuning in and being a part of the Pathways conversation.
Dr. Demento, and you are listening to KBOO Portland.
Hey there, KBOO listeners. This is Dr. Tony Zimbardi, host of the new show,